Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Hour number three of The Drive underway. Fox Sports Knoxville, Russell Smith back in the saddle again.
I'm back.
That was the worst combo Steven Tyler impersonation ever.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I was like, oh, man.
Wasn't as bad as you guys trying to imitate Dubs last week on the Welcome You.
I feel like I did pretty damn good.
You guys missed the key to what he does.
I did a whole lot better than you.
Yeah, and I feel like it's kind of easy to sit there and criticize, you know, poor Brandon having to do all the heavy lifting
Welcome
for a week.
You.
See, that was terrible.
No, it's not.
You sounded like somebody was strangling a cat just now.
But they do. Here's where they all screw up, Russ. All of them. Cody, Rick, Brandon attempted it. They don't turn the head.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
I didn't do it on Friday because I had the headset there.
Watch your tone of voice.
Listen, it's very difficult to do. The late, great Spanky Brown taught me this. It's a privilege. He handed it down to me, and I'm not gonna.
Is that where you got that from?
Maybe someday. I should have taken Brandon by the arm and said, "Come here, son. Let me tell you something."
I feel like it, I mean, you can go check the tape. I feel like I did a pretty damn good job.
Pretty good. Okay.
Okay.
Good to be back with you. Overreaction Monday, hour number three. We appreciate the phone exchange for presenting Overreaction Monday. Of course, they are Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, and trade pre-owned phones. If you've got an old phone lying around your house somewhere, stuck in your couch, maybe in a drawer or something like that, take it out, take it up there to the phone exchange atop of Bearden Hill. They will give you straight cash money.
Straight cash, homie.
And you can walk out of there a richer man. If you need a phone, every phone they sell comes with a 30-day warranty, so they stand behind the quality of their product. At the phone exchange, they've also got locations in Murfreesboro and Chattanooga as well. So be sure to check them out and tell them The Drive sent you. As we celebrate, it's a celebration. Tennessee, an unexpected victory over Auburn, has the Vols at 3-3 as we have reached the midpoint of the season. Does it seem like the season's half over to you?
Yeah.
Really?
Flying by, yeah.
No, it doesn't seem like it should be half over.
Seems like we should just be getting started. Unbelievable. But here we are.
We're six games in. It's a 12-game season.
And one. Thank you. Thank you, Bear.
Appreciate it.
You want to? Any other bombshells you want to drop on us? Captain Mathematics? Mr. Multiplication?
I don't know if you caught it on Friday, Russ, but he said that he was basically like Einstein.
Do we have some similarities?
He said, and those similarities being that he liked math and he was balding. That was it.
Einstein wasn't balding. That's like the one thing everybody knows. He has a huge head of hair.
No, he had that wild, crazy, like white hair.
Hair.
He was balding.
That's the opposite of bald.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
What are you doing?
I lower
your voice, big boy.
I'm repeating what you said on Friday.
Now, boys.
We can check the tape.
Okay,
now,
Chance.
Now, boys, don't fight. The children are here. Got to select our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. That's coming up here in just a minute. Reset the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Out question of the day for those of you just joining. How many of these games do you think Tennessee will win? And it's amazing how one game, beating Auburn, nobody saw it coming, changes the entire complexion of the rest of the season. Yeah, we might get drilled by Bama. We probably will. But after that, I think Tennessee fans have so much more confidence today than they did when they woke up Saturday morning before that game, it's not even funny. How many of these four games do you think Tennessee will win? South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. So we're taking Alabama and Charlotte, putting them off to the side. How many of those four games do you think Tennessee wins?
Four.
47% of the audience says two. That's the leader in the clubhouse. 35% say three. 11% say four. So, Bears got 1 out of 10 Vol fans hanging in there with him. And then 7% think we only win one. I'm right in there in the middle. I said, you know, 2.5. I guess I would kind of lean towards two right now, but I certainly think three is on the table, and I don't think four is outlandish. Maybe I'm looking at it through orange-colored glasses. Maybe we just got lucky and ran into an Auburn team that's in complete and total disarray right now, and we're able to exploit that. Maybe we're not as far along as we think, but I don't think South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, I think Kentucky's clearly playing the best football out of all four of those teams, but I do think that all four of those games are highly winnable right now for Tennessee. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the McKinney Team Hotline, 546-8200. If you want to jump in, got a couple lines available right now. Brandon, you had a thought.
One thing that gives me confidence in those last four games, or the four games that we're talking about, is even if we're losing at halftime, if we can keep it close, I feel confident for the first time in a long time that we will actually make better adjustments than the other coaching staff.
Well, and it's not even like a halftime adjustments. Like, I feel like we adjust on the fly now.
Oh, he definitely does on defense.
There was somebody showed, it may have been Trey Wallace, did the clip where it was the interception. It was the Bryce Thompson interception where you can see Pruitt in the bottom left of the screen coaching, I believe it was.
It's one of the freshmen.
It was Buchanan. Coming up on a nickel blitz, and he's like, Pruitt's basically joystick coaching him, saying, get up here on the line, and then they ran a guy in motion that cleared his path to the quarterback, and Pruitt says, go! And Buchanan got that pressure with Alexis Johnson that caused Stidham to throw just a terrible ball that Bryce Thompson picked off.
He should have just ate and taken the sack.
Yeah.
Instead of slinging it up in the air.
Well, there were a couple of them. The touchdown was pretty bad too.
Who got that first? Was that the first one? Where if the Auburn guy doesn't, if the receiver doesn't trip him up, he would have gone.
That was Kongbo.
That was Kongbo.
No, we're a bit there. Okay, so we're talking about three plays. The first play was right after they block our field goal, which was our second possession of the game, and. We're on life support at that point, man. It's 10-3, and they're getting set to go down and score again. We're in trouble. And that was Bryce Thompson stepping in front of the ball around midfield and picking it off.
It could have easily been a pick six. That guy just caught his foot.
It could have been. The second interception was Kongbo. That could have been a pick six, but it was a wide receiver right there who ran him down. I don't think he was outrunning that guy. And then, of course, the third play in the third quarter was – the bizarre fumble recovery for a touchdown. I mean, that worked out. I mean, it would have stunk to have had to go out there first to go from the four. Like, what are we going to do now? I don't know. The fact that we scored on that play was such a dramatic momentum change. I feel like that was – I won't say it was the ball game right there, but it kind of was.
That's something that happens to us, not for us.
Yes, that we're usually on the other end of that particular improbable play. That's usually something that is happening to us, not for us. Good call, Brandon. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon on the drive, 546-8200. Yeah. Yeah, big game. Kyle Phillips, SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week, 9 tackles to lead the team, including he's the guy who forced the fumble that we were just talking about that Alante Taylor eventually recovered in the end zone for a touchdown. Alexis Johnson, 6 tackles, half a sack. Johnson now has 28 tackles on the year. Kyle Phillips has 16 tackles in the last 2 games. How about this number? Chunk plays. Tennessee finishes the game with 7 pass plays of 20 yards or more. We only had 13 coming into the game.
Wow.
Big plays. I think, like, the one of the things that just stands out to me, and it sounds so simple, but it's so important, is just targeting our best players. It's like, okay, yeah, we would love to get Dominic Woods-Anderson like 4 or 5 targets a game. He's just not ready yet, man. Get the ball to Ty Chandler and Juwan Jennings. Get the ball to Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer. And like, we're doing that Saturday. We're force-feeding those guys. How many touches did Ty Chandler have? He had like at
21
least
21 maybe.
Yeah, like 15 carries and maybe 5 or 6 catches. And the touchdown that got wiped out because of the illegal procedure or penalty or whatever. Like
illegal man downfield.
I mean, we knew that coming out of the ETSU game. It's like, we got to get this dude the ball. Like, he's got to have at least 15 touches a game, maybe, probably 20 or 25. He can't have enough touches, right?
He gave him about 25, and I'd try and make sure that Jennings got at least 10 to 15.
Like, he didn't get hardly any touch. I thought he had like 4 or 5 against Florida, and now it's like, okay, we're force-feeding him the ball. He's your best offensive playmaker. Get him the football. And we've done that now. 202 all-purpose yards for Ty Chandler. That's 2/3 of your offense. I mean, that's incredible, right?
Yeah.
Turnovers. We were -8 headed into this game. You're just not going to win in this league. -8. And then we have, of course, we get 3 turnovers. We have 0. We get 3. They have 3. That's the difference in the game. You know, if that number's even, they probably win. And, you know, going back to Jamie's call in hour number 2, I thought he had some good points, you know. The running on, and I know we won, but you can still nitpick, man. There's room for improvement. It's what Pruitt does immediately after the game. We got to finish better. Yesterday on the coaches' show, just left and right, all the things we could have done better in that game. You can't run it on first down 11 times out of 12, man. You got to be a little bit more unpredictable. And I'm not saying it has to be a perfect 50-50 split, but there's a difference between, like, trying to establish the run and just banging your head against a brick wall. Which, I don't know, like, the third down numbers are third down and short. We can't convert a third and short to save our lives, but 3rd and 8, it's almost like automatic.
Yeah,
the other day.
12.
Maybe Tyson Helton knows something. Maybe that's his game plan. It's like, look, let's just forfeit first down. We'll go in and get stuffed to get a 2-yard loss. It'll be 2nd and 12, and we'll complete a 3rd and long, because we're better at that than 3rd and short. I mean, what do you feel more confident in? Tennessee's offense 3rd and 2 or Tennessee's offense 3rd and 7?
What player are we running?
Doesn't matter.
I'll say this: if it's 3rd and 2, I do not feel comfortable running the ball at all. If it's 3rd and inches, I don't feel comfortable saying that we're going to get the first down.
I don't. It depends on who the running back is.
No.
If it's Chandler, I feel comfortable with it.
Coming into the game, Tennessee is converting less than 50% of its 3rd and 1, or 3rd and short, which is defined as 3 yards or less, opportunities. We only had 1 3rd and 1 and did not convert it against Auburn, and Tennessee has now failed to convert their last 3 3rd and 1 plays. That's crazy, man.
Is the quarterback sneak in the playbook?
I don't know. You would think Garantano, big sturdy guy. Just go up there and goose the center.
As tough as he's proven himself to be, surely can muscle in for a yard, right?
Tennessee was 70%, 7 of 10 on third downs of 8 yards or more. That's incredible. That's crazy. I would rather be in 3rd and 8 or longer than 3rd and 1 with this team. Would you? I mean, it sounds stupid, I know, but the math is the math, man. We're more likely to convert 3rd and long than we are 3rd and short. And that's something that obviously needs to be fixed. You got to get better at it. But that's where we are right now in this crazy 2018 season. All right, hang right there. We're going to come right back. Get your phone calls going. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your number to get on the drive. It's Fox Sports Knoxville on an Overreaction Monday. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. Overreaction Monday on The Drive is presented by The Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Now, back to The Drive.
D.C. Coltrane, what a great point.
He's been putting in work today.
Sal Sinceri must have been even more awful than I thought as a D.C. Pruitt has this defense playing pretty good in year one without his guys with a new scheme. It's a good point.
Sinceri, I don't think Sinceri would ever be mistaken as being on the same kind of level as Pruitt as far as defensive.
Well, remember like the Sinceri year, the first two or three games that's – like, we weren't dominant defensively, but we weren't awful either. Just kind of an average college defense. And then the second half of that Florida game, it just the bottom fell out. And from then on, it was just shockingly bad. The rest
Trey
of,
Burton?
Is yeah, like,
it started?
We've gotten to the point now where, like, you can see improvement. Like, we're getting better and better as the season progresses, whereas that defense got worse and worse. Big Orange Steve says, the Pruitt show is great, but he's got to do something about that suit. Listen, man, you guys leave Jeremy Pruitt alone. I think his suits are awesome. The fact that he bought them at a 2-for-1 sale at Walmart is great. He stands out. He's got style. He's got panache. And I don't think that's a suit either, right? That's just a jacket he bought, right? That's a coat you wear with your khakis to church on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I mean, what do you think he's sitting there under the table with, like, coaching shorts?
He doesn't have them. That coat doesn't have matching pants that he's wearing.
He's just wearing, like, UT football shorts.
Well, he might be, but I would say he's probably wearing slacks, just khakis under there. Hmm. Khakis. What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm? Steve-O says you should definitely take off for voluntary reaction again this week. Seemed to work last week. Listen, if maybe that's an experiment we should have. Like if I watch the game in my car, don't do voluntary reaction, and we beat Alabama. Yeah, I mean maybe that's just what has to happen from now on. I'll just be the guy who watches the game in his car. That'd be fine with me. My wife would probably be pissed off about it. Mark says, I think we beat South Carolina, UK, and Vandy, but lose to Mizzou, too much offense. So three, I mean, I would take that. That means we go 7-5. You wouldn't take 7-5 right now?
I'll believe that Derek Dooley can outwit Jeremy Pruitt when I see it. Dooley had them throwing the ball in that typhoon when they lost that game, let South Carolina get back in that game and beat them. He's still the same old Dooley.
What an idiot.
Exactly.
Marty is next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Marty.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Good. Hey, I know it's Overreaction Monday, but I want to talk about Overreaction Saturday when Mr. Clean and his sidekick, Big Mac, who was filling in for you, Russ, putting up Twitter polls and saying Russ shouldn't do the voluntary reaction anymore. What's that all about?
You know, you think it's and I'll be honest, Marty. I'm a little bit triggered. I'm a little bit hurt that my supposed compatriots, my buddies, went ahead and axed me in my back. I'm over there on the Isle of Palms on the beach last week, sunning myself, getting a little vitamin D, and little do I know, Cody McClure, drunken buffoon that he is sharpening his knife a la Philip Fulmer circa 1992 when Johnny Majors was lying in his bed with his chest cracked open. Big Cody Mac just sharpened his knife, trying to plunge it right in between my shoulder blades. It's the guys you think are your closest to you. I thought Cody Mac and I had an understanding.
No, you all have no understanding.
Evidently not.
The only understanding there is that he's always, the Bombay doors are always open.
Evidently not. And that's okay, because you know what? If we want to take this to DEFCON 1.
Oh, he used one of your, he said that in a rare moment of clarity for you.
This is a great line.
Yeah.
All right, we got to select our North Knox Siding and Windows. Excuse me, high school football player of the week. Great performances all around the region. Once again, last week, Keaton Herrig over at Loudoun, a freshman quarterback who, I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing he is related, the coach's son over there, Jeff Herrig, 14 of 25, 230 yards passing and 3 touchdowns in a 42-7 win for the Redskins over Sweetwater. We had a running back out at Sevier County, Tyree Bowling, 18 carries, 88 yards, 1 catch, 13 yards, 2 touchdowns, 28-16 win for the Smoky Bears over Seymour. Some great defensive performances. Alec Borough of Webb, 18 tackles, including 12 solos, 1 pass broken up, 1 forced fumble as the Spartans hammered Chattanooga Christian 35-7. And let's see here. So many of these. We had a couple of guys with 16 tackles. Michael Harris over at William Blount. They beat McMinn County over the weekend. Jacob Adams over at Oak Ridge. They beat Clinton on Friday night. But this week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week is Hardin Valley's Kelton Gunn. That's a quality name right there. That's a baller. Kelton Gunn. 14 carries, 51 yards, and a touchdown. He also completed a pass for a touchdown. And he had 124 yards receiving and a touchdown. And he had a kickoff returned, 83 yards for a touchdown. I mean, good grief. Talk about a one-man gang. Kelton Gunn leading Hardin Valley to a 35-17 win over Kingsport Dobbins Bennett. And we congratulate him, for he is our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. Appreciate North Knox Siding and Windows, as always, for their support of local high school football. They've been with us doing this for 7 or 8 years now, I think, and a great locally owned and operated business. My guy Mike Smith basically started his business out of the back of his truck up there in North Knoxville. Now it's grown to be the biggest exterior home improvement companies in East Tennessee. They go all over Knoxville, surrounding areas, no matter where you're at. If you need anything done on the outside of your home, rails, siding, gutters, those leaves starting to fall, you need to make sure those gutters are in tip-top shape. Obviously, windows and siding, what they're known for, doors, handrails, anything. They'll take care of you. Call today to set up for a free estimate. They'll come up to your house, take a look at your project, walk you through it, let you know exactly how much it's going to cost. Call 689-0505 or go online to NorthKnoxSidingAndWindows.com. Again, that phone number, 865-689-0505. Tell them Russell and the Drive sent you. Just go online to NorthKnoxSidingAndWindows.com. Take a quick break here on the Drive. Get back on track with our breaks Open lines available right now. If you want to jump in, take a shot. 865-546-8200 is our number here on Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange. We'll be right back.
The Drive. Like no other, this is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Cruising right along on a Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Let's see, am I good on the live reads? I think I'm doing okay.
Brandon forgot one last week.
We got Corner 16 coming up Thursday. Pretty fired up about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. If you didn't get to our last Corner 16 remote, come on out and see us. And if you got to the last one, come again, man, because you know what a great place Corner 16 is. They got the patio out there. I've already checked the weather several times. It's supposed to be really nice.
It's supposed to be like 66 degrees that day.
I will smoke you yet again cornhole.
No. This aggression will not stand. I will have my revenge. I will have my pound of flesh, sir. You're going down.
Wasn't that when the little kids, like Brandon was asking
there were
to
kids,
sit
it was hot. I had
board.
The sun in my eyes. I was holding a beer. Not fair, man. Not fair. It was a setup, I tell you.
We'll play again. I'm not afraid.
Dang right we will. Come on out. Have a cold one with us. Try and tackle that big banana split.
We getting that this week.
I don't know. I got to get out of there as soon as it's over and get to a shindig. But Citizens National Bank.
Oh, a shindig.
A shindig.
That's nice.
A hootenanny. All right. It has to be asked. It has to be asked. Because we asked after the Florida game, how does this affect recruiting? We had a big weekend. All those, you know, Darnell Wright was here. All these big-time prospects in 2019-2020 classes were on campus. We laid an egg. It's like, oh, God, who's going to want to come be a part of that? Well, how does this game, the Auburn win, how does that affect recruiting? And, by the way, Wanye Morris, our five-star offensive lineman commitment, took a visit to Auburn. At the last minute, he went on Auburn's dime to that game, and I read some of the articles at it. He said that it was weird because he was there with Auburn and he had to like stifle his cheers, but he was really glad that we won. I mean, he sounded really solid.
According to the Auburn message boards, he didn't really stifle it.
Yeah. So, like, what do you think?
Is it like sick of him?
Does this cancel out the Florida game? Like, as bad as that was for recruiting, does this cancel it out, or is it?
Yeah, because
are we net positive?
Was over there with him, wasn't he? There was some other big time recruit that was hanging with.
Well, yeah, he went with Owen Papo, five-star linebacker commitment, a teammate of Wanye's at Grayson High School down there in Georgia. He's committed to Auburn, so they go down there together. If I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm looking at that because that Auburn thing's about to fall apart. I thought it was LSU that was going to fall apart this year.
Nope.
It's going to be Auburn. I'm looking at their commitment list, and I'm going through their highest – the guys I think are the biggest ballers. I'm calling all of them in, saying, listen – because this is what happened to Tennessee after that Florida game. Everybody's calling Wanye. Everybody's calling Darnell Wright. Everybody's calling Quavaris Crouch. All these five stars were after. Hey, man, did you see Tennessee? They're non-competitive, man. They did it again. They hired another clown. You don't want to be a part of that. Don't ruin your career. Don't ruin your life. Don't go there. Come play for us. If I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm doing the exact same. Hey, man, that Gus Malzahn thing, that is a toxic situation. That locker room is unhealthy. The fans want him out. We're on the up and up, man. We're about to take a huge step. You don't even have to be a part of the rebuilding year. You come in and be ready to win with us in your first year. Year one for year, year two for us. You hit the ground running here. What do you guys think?
I'd do it in a second. I mean, I don't know if Auburn fires Gus, but it's definitely a sinking ship.
They can't.
I mean, it's very, very expensive to fire him, but it is a sinking ship.
Yeah, I think it's a substantial amount. I think it's 50% of it.
Has to be paid in the first 30 days.
Yeah. 30 days from they fire him, they've got to cut him like a $16 million check.
Yeah, and they say if it's $32-33 million, whatever it is, that doesn't include the $10-15 million it's going to take to hire a new staff. Because you know Auburn, if they make the move, isn't going to go cheap.
No.
They're not gonna fire Gus.
They've got to pay off all of Gus's assistants.
Somebody hit me, let's see if I can go find this, earlier today. Somebody said it would be great to beat Kentucky and put one on Stoops on his way to Tallahassee. Is that a thing? Are people talking about Mark Stoops, Kentucky, getting the Florida State job? First of all, I don't see them firing Willie Taggart after 1 year, although maybe they should.
Because
I don't see him working out, but I don't see them firing him after 1 year. Mark Stoops was defensive coordinator down there under Jimbo for a minute. Is that being talked about? Like,
That's the first I'd heard of it.
If Mark Stoops, if he ever wants to move up, and listen, you're just not going to win at Kentucky. That's a graveyard job. He's done a nice job there. If he gets them to 7 or 8 wins this year, he should absolutely parlay that into a bigger job. Because this is the ceiling as far, you know, what he can accomplish at Kentucky.
Or does he stay? And it's kind of like Cutcliffe, what he's done at Duke. You don't really have that much pressure on you at Kentucky to win big, do you?
Well, here's the thing, that Kentucky fans are stupid. Duke fans know their place. They know their role. They're a basketball school. Kentucky fans don't get that. There's a percentage of that fan base that – and keep in mind, Bear Bryant coached there in the early 1950s. There's a segment of that fan base that thinks that, you know, someday we're going to have big-time football. And they're just not. But they're too stupid to realize that. So if he sticks around and they go from an 8-4 team back to a 5-6 win team, yeah, people are they're going to be upset with that. I would absolutely hit the ejector seat if I were Mark Stoops at Kentucky.
I mean, I would too. I would hope that
it's a no-brainer.
You would think that he has higher goals for himself to kind of move up as and
no, it's
move
Kentucky, up the coaching man. Line. It's a crappy job.
That's his first head coaching job. I don't know which jobs come open, but I'm sure there's going to be one that he maybe has his eye on.
And he's a decent defensive coach. He's a decent recruiter.
I mean, he's made Kentucky have a nice, solid defense.
As it stands right now, and you're right, there probably will be a diamond job or two open up. I don't know what it is right now, though, man.
No, not yet.
It's not going to be like last year where, you know, Florida and Tennessee and
Nebraska.
A couple jobs all open at once. There's, it's going to be one or two at most. Did USC, if they bought him out, would they pull the plug on Clay Helton?
Who else?
Those Miami fans were mad about losing to Virginia the other night. I don't see them making a move on nice guy Mark Richt, though. I mean, this is as relevant as they've been in quite some time.
Right now, it's tough to see which job could open up.
What about Scott Frost? Well, he just...
I saw that last night. USA Today reported that it would cost Nebraska. It was like,
oh no, I'm not saying he's on the hot 30 seat. Or 40 I'm just million. Saying, man, what a horrible start!
Didn't he go 0-12 his first year at Central Florida?
Yes, and then 6-6, and then 12-0.
So, I'm not. Yeah, it sucks if you're a Nebraska fan, but I'm not pressing the panic button. I'm giving him at least 3 years. You know, if they go 0-12 again next year, then yeah, maybe back to back winless seasons at Nebraska should be unacceptable. But I don't think that's going to happen. And what they had Northwestern beat basically, and Northwestern went 99 yards in 2 minutes to tie that game and then beat them in overtime.
God.
They got one against your boy this week.
PJ?
Yep.
Saw PJ They gave Ohio State some problems.
One of PJ's Saturday. Guys is in trouble.
Really?
Those players, yeah. I cannot remember for the life of me. Did something bad.
PJ Fleck's been known to he's not recruiting much choir boys. If you go back to his time at Western Michigan, he had all sorts of discipline problems up there.
Speaking of not being a choir boy, did you happen to see Vontaze Burfict's latest assault on Antonio Brown?
Yeah. Guy can't help himself, can he?
Yeah. Man, if I were one of those Steelers linemen, I mean, there's got to be a bounty out on him. If I'm Antonio Brown, I make as much money as he does.
He got the last laugh. That was a great game yesterday.
Yeah, still, he really didn't, though. That was a hell of a shot he took the side of the
really didn't. He scored the game-winning touchdown. I mean, obviously, he's not concussed. He stays in the game. He scores the game-winning touchdown. He's playing for the Steelers. Vontaze Burfict's playing for the Bengals. You tell me who's winning.
I'd say who'd be winning if I were Antonio Brown. I'd put a $25,000 bounty on his head, whichever lineman brought me his ACL.
Where's Hines Ward when you need him?
Oh, Hines Ward, I don't think he'd be doing this stuff if Hines Ward was in his prime on there. He'd be on a stretcher on the side of the field. Is he one of the best head-hunting wide receivers you've ever seen?
Ward?
Yeah, he was a bad man.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a place for him in the 2018 NFL. Yeah.
Other than, I mean, if I block out that whole Georgia thing, I always liked him once he got to the Steelers because he was so rough.
Got a question for you to ponder during our final break, and then we'll come back, play a little Check It or Wreck It, wrap things up.
What's the question?
Butch Jones's first year, he beats a top 10 South Carolina team, very good team.
It's not a signature win.
How is this different from beating?
Because Auburn's one of the six plank owners in the SEC.
Plank owners?
The originals.
Oh.
One of the first teams in the conference. This is a signature win. It's Auburn.
Well, so is Kentucky.
Auburn, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee.
So just name recognition, pure and simple.
Well, no.
Think about it. We'll flush that. We'll unpack that when we continue. Why is this different than Butch beating South Carolina his first year? We'll come back, wrap things up on The Drive, on Fox Sports Knoxville, on Fan Run Radio when we continue after this.
The Drive.
On radio.
You're listening to The Drive. Get some.
Check It or Wreck It. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. The official law offices of The Drive.
The Packers beat the 49ers tonight in Lambeau. Oh, it's a big wreck. Check It.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Check It. Pack.
Do I go second now? I'm in second, right?
It doesn't matter. Check
I'll
it.
I'll go second. Check it.
We disqualified Rick. We're moving on.
He thinks because he went 2-0 last week that he somehow is like a professional tout.
Tennessee will make a bowl game this year.
Check it.
I'm checking it as well.
I'm going to check it as well.
Georgia was overrated coming into the season.
Absolutely, I check it. I've said it from way back in the summer. I didn't think they were going to be as good this year.
I'm going to rank it. I still think they're pretty good. They're not as good as they were last year, and they've got some issues, but I think they're still pretty darn good.
I'll check it. I'm with you, Russ. I think they're still pretty good, but they are a little overrated.
That is Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. You check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com.
Talk up to you.
No matter where you are. And turn your wreck into a check. Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. All right, real quickly before we get back to these phones to wrap up, you've had time to come up with a decent explanation. Butch Jones beat a South Carolina team, which I think in a vacuum, and we'll see what Auburn does here, but I think that South Carolina team ended up the year in the top 10. I think that's a better team than the one Tennessee beat at Auburn on Saturday. Obviously, that was a road game, so you have to figure that into. Why is Jeremy Pruitt beating Auburn Saturday different than Butch beating South Carolina that first year?
South Carolina's not a regal football school. Auburn is. It's a signature win.
But at the time, they were a top 10 team. Here's my reason.
Nebraska's regal. Oregon's not. Beating Oregon would be a bigger win. So I don't think that – I think you have to –
It's just not a signature win. Nothing about beating South Carolina to
me
is a
signature win.
Well, let me ask you this. We've owned them for years and years and years.
I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on anything. But if this Auburn team crumbles and ends up going 4-8, was it really a signature win?
Yeah, because it was Auburn.
I think you have to wait and see on that. But I think the South Carolina win, Butch's first year, I feel like that it was fluky. You got lucky beating them.
It was fool's gold's what it was.
Spurrier kind of
he botched the timeouts at the end.
At the end and really you got lucky on that Marquez North catch that he caught to set up the field goal. This one you kind of in the second half you owned Auburn. You beat them.
We curb stomped them. We did.
There was nothing fluky about that game on Saturday. I think if you play them,
they had 10 yards rushing in the second half. 10.
And granted, they do have the locker room stuff going on, and I'm sure that plays into it, but there was nothing fluky about that one.
No,
at the time that's
the best point.
That was the 20th ranked defense that we lit up.
Yeah. I mean, turnover was kind of fluky. I'm not gonna rain on anybody's parade. Let's get Roger in here. He'll be our final caller of the evening. What up, Roger?
Hey, Russell, man. Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, doing all right. Thanks.
Cool. Russell, I just want to tell you, I miss you, buddy. I miss you. Russell, I just want to tell you first. I miss you. You missed that, and I was hoping to talk to you, but. Yeah, I'm thinking of Casey, but I just want to tell you, Russell, you missed that important, Russell, while you were gone.
I know
Russell.
What I missed.
You know what it was?
And don't think I wasn't observing Roger's birthday.
Yeah.
In my absence, Roger getting the big birthday victory over Auburn. Roger, you ought to have birthdays more often, buddy.
I know. That's what I've been hearing a lot, you know. All weekend, I've heard that all weekend. So, yeah, I know we need it, but, you know, but anyway, I miss you, Russell. I just want to tell you, it's good to have you back. I miss you, okay? I miss you, buddy.
Oh, thanks, Roger. So, missed you too, bud.
No problem. And,
how does it feel, man? We got that W, Roger. You pumped up.
I just want to answer your question about your question.
Okay.
I want to answer your question. I think Tennessee went all four games, Russell. All four games.
4-0. Raj is calling for 8-4.
That's what I'm calling for, Raj.
Yeah. Well, that's my answer on that. And
do you think we can beat Alabama? Roger,
huh?
Do you think we can beat Alabama? You think there's a chance?
I don't know about beating them. I think we can give them a better game all year than anybody else has. So I think we can give them a good game, I think.
I think
we can give them a good fight, I think. So you think Tennessee can give... You think Tennessee can give, if they play well, you think Tennessee can give Alabama a good game, you think, or a good fight, you think?
Yeah, probably not. Well? No. I mean, they're playing.
28.5. Are we covering 28.5?
No. I mean, Roger, nobody in the nation is like them. They're going to pound. They should unless they beat
Let's
themselves.
Just not get anybody hurt. Be full strength headed to South Carolina to try and win that game.
Right. Yeah. But you never know, Russell Bear, and you never know. I went in this look over this game. You know, you never know what can happen.
Raj, no, not happening this weekend, brother.
Kurt knows the system, so
he knows the system.
About that, Russell,
he knows the system, Bear.
You never know.
It's
you
true.
Never know. So
you never know.
Nick Saban could holler across the field with a bullhorn and tell Pruitt what play he's calling. And we wouldn't be able to stop it.
Raj, thanks, man. We're out of time. Hope you had a great birthday. I know you did. That was a great birthday present. Big win over Auburn. We'll be back tomorrow right here in your fan-run studios, 3-6. Big thanks to the Phone Exchange for presenting Overreaction Monday. Big thanks to Rick Butler and Brandon Orrit for all their hard work. For Bear, I'm Russell Smith. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow here on The Drive.